Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the radio show where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this afternoon is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. How are you, man?
I am doing great, but are you a little nervous? Big night for you tonight.
Oh, I thought you were talking about because I'm behind the board, because noticeably,
you're nervous about that. That I know.
I am noticeably not in the studio with us this afternoon is our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. He's swimming with the whales, or I don't know what he's doing, right?
Yeah, he's at the aquarium swimming with the sharks.
So we love Red Hawk. And, he has a lady in his life now. We need to give a shout out to her, Miss L. So, L, we're glad to have you on the team. Please try to keep him safe and straight.
There you go.
So you're talking about tonight, though. I'm on a panelist.
Right, for the folks at TIE Atlanta, an entrepreneur organization here in town. And you're a panelist to talk about their COBA program.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll give you a full report on the next Atlanta Business Radio Show or a High Velocity Radio Show. But right now, we got some real work to do.
That's right.
All right. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome to the broadcast from Solar Crowdsource, Mr. Don Moreland. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, that's your day job, Solar Crowdsource, but we're here to talk about the Georgia Solar Energy Association, the big event they got going on.
That's right. We have our eighth annual Georgia Solar Summit coming up on October 20th.
So the sun's been around for quite some time, and now we're on number 8 of this group's big event. So why do you think we're so late to the party with the kind of leveraging solar energy?
Well, solar is not a new technology. It's been around for about 60 years, and it was on the White House at one time.
Really?
Jimmy Carter put some solar panels on the White House, and then as soon as Ronald Reagan came in, he took them straight down.
He said, "We will have none of that."
Yes. And it's really a matter of economies of scale and cost. For example, since 2010, the cost of solar has come down about 70%, which is now making it cost competitive with traditional forms of energy production.
Now, why has the cost gone down?
Manufacturing, and again, economies of scale, the more efficient processes in manufacturing, harvesting the silicone material that is used for the energy creation. And I think if you've ever heard of Moore's Law and the doubling of
computer power every 18 months or so,
solar is not subject to Moore's Law, but it's subject to
Moreland's Law.
I like it.
I think we'll call it that from now on. No, for every doubling of production capacity around the world, the price will be cut in half. Mm-hmm. So there's more production worldwide, and now we have lower prices.
So now everybody talks about climate change, so things are getting warmer here. But there has to be a way to leverage this, right?
Yeah, in fact, we're on our 15th straight month in a row of record-breaking temperatures. Mm-hmm. 2015 was hotter than 2014. 2014 was hotter than 2013. And 2016 is shaping up to be the hottest year on record since they started keeping such records back in 1880. Mm-hmm. So it's now a convergence of a lot of things. We've got global warming seems to be happening at a more rapid pace, and the cost of solar, clean, renewable electricity is coming down. So we'd like to think we're at a convergence where the transition is already happening to clean, renewable electricity.
So now, can you share for our listeners who aren't familiar with solar energy some of the benefits?
Yeah. So solar will save you money on your electricity bill. If you use it to offset your current consumption, then your utility bill will be lower. You actually get a return on your investment with solar. So unlike paying your utility bill, you'll never see that money again. That's an expense that goes out and never comes back. But with solar, you'll get a return on your investment, and you'll get a payback on the money that you spend. You also get a 30% tax credit from the federal government.
So the federal government is trying to help you make this decision.
Yeah, the federal government subsidizes all forms of energy production, and for solar and other renewable energy sources, a 30% investment tax credit is a big driver.
So you put that in your house, and then you put the thing that captures and holds the energy, and you can actually, can you make money on it? Can you have extra capacity that you can share back to the
community? So the way it works right now, mainly, is you use the energy that's generated. And if you are generating more electricity than you use, then that power is sent back to the grid. So you're always interconnected to the utility company.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to, like a typical home, to get to even or zero?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It depends on how much energy you use and how much solar you install. But it's actually quite common to be generating more electricity than you're using. If you think about electricity is being generated with solar during the day when the sun is out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's when you're gone at work and the kids are at school. So there's not a lot of electricity being used during the day. So it makes sense to stay connected to the grid so that electricity is being sold back to them.
Now, the panels, are they typically on your roof? Like, that's how it's done? Or can you put them around your yard? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, there's several different applications. In Georgia, utility scale solar is pretty big. We're the 12th fastest growing state in the union as far as utility scale is concerned. As far as homeowners and business owners, the rooftop application is the most common, but you can do ground mounts. We can just run a line from where it's on the ground all the way to your main distribution panel and your meter.
All right. So I want to know what's going to happen at this big powwow. When is it? And what are you guys going to be doing for the time?
Our 8th annual Georgia Solar Summit. We have an incredible lineup this year. It's on October 20th down at the Georgia Tech, one of their facilities down there. And aside from the usual customers in our industry, we have the stakeholders, including the public service commissioners. We have 4 out of the 5 public service commissioners coming. We have representatives from Georgia Power will be there to update us on some of the most recent goings on down there and their future solar purchase plans over the next 3 and 6 years. But we also have Terry Jester, who is one of our keynote speakers. She's a 37-year solar industry veteran, and she works for Solar Core Materials right now, but she's done everything in the industry.
She was doing it before it was cool.
That's exactly right. but the one I'm most excited about is Tim Dwight. I don't know if you guys remember Tim Dwight.
The former Atlanta Falcon.
Yes.
I'm a
big Falcons fan. Kick return specialist. Wide receiver. I think his most notable play was during the Super Bowl that the Falcons went to. He ran a 95-yard touchdown back against mm-hmm. Denver. And since he retired from football, he has turned into a solar advocate, and he works a lot out of Iowa and California. He works for organizations in both states right now.
And then so at this event, it'll be a lot of education. But there's also going to be vendors there as well.
Yeah, there'll be vendors. We have 3 different panel sessions with industry experts all the way up and down the line. You'll get a lot of education. There'll be a lot of opportunities for networking and a lot of vendors that are showcasing their newest technology.
Now, well, it's my understanding they invite only the brightest people to sit on these panels, at these panels like he's talking about.
Yes, the solar panel.
Yes, that's why you were invited to
exactly.
the panel, right? Okay.
So now, who should attend this event? Is this just like industry insiders, or is it?
It's a lot of it is industry insiders, but it's also folks who are just now coming into the industry. Solar is growing like crazy here in Georgia and all throughout the United States. For example, we have about 300 solar companies that do business here in Georgia that employs over 3,000 employees, and that number has doubled over the last few years, and it's projected to double again by 2020. So there's a lot of new people coming into the market. A lot of companies are hiring, so you've got a lot more uptake that way. And any solar advocates or even students who are interested in solar and want to come out and find out what's going on in Georgia, this is the event that you want to come to.
So now let's talk a little bit about your background. You're an attorney by trade, right?
Correct.
Now, how'd you get into the solar energy world?
Well, I was doing a lot of real estate work back throughout the 2000s. And when, I guess, the bubble burst for the real estate market in 2007 and 2008, I had a choice. There was a lot of movement, and it gave me an opportunity to pivot and decide, okay, what do you really want to do in your life? And I've always been an environmentalist at heart. Solar was up and coming at the time, not nearly as rapid growth as we're experiencing now, but it was up and coming. And having the lawyer background, it gave me a niche to work with existing solar companies and help them navigate the complexities of the policy and the tax incentives that are available, and a lot of contract work as well.
Now, your company, Solar Crowdsource, what are they doing for folks?
We are a platform. Think of it like a crowdfunding platform, if you're familiar with Kickstarter or Indiegogo, but transformed into a platform that specializes just in solar-type programs. So, for example, we have solarized programs, community solar programs, and we also do crowdfunding here in Georgia.
So, like, if a community wanted to, you know, go solar for a portion of their energy, they can crowdsource.
That's exactly right. So the most recent example is Solarized Decatur DeKalb that we're doing in conjunction with other area nonprofits, including Environment Georgia, the Georgia Sierra Club, Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, and the Decatur Environmental Sustainability Board. So we all formed a coalition, and we created this program. We did a request for proposals for contractors throughout the entire solar industry to bid on this particular project. So for a limited period of time, anybody who lives in Decatur and DeKalb County can participate in a community-based bulk purchasing program. So this means that through the power of bulk purchasing and economies of scale, they can get solar for anywhere up to 25 to 30% discount from...
So that's somebody who has a house in Decatur. Within that kind of territory you mentioned,
right?
Then they get to participate in this.
Yes, it's open to homes, businesses,
and then because now you're all kind of pooling all your resources together, so then you get better pricing.
That's exactly right. And we did a competitive bid process, which allowed us to
kind of lock in the prices with
lock in the prices. Not only that, but also evaluate the materials that the contractors came to the table with. And in this particular case, we have Suniva, which is a Norcross-based solar manufacturer. All of their solar cells are manufactured right here in Norcross. They're one of the most highly efficient panel manufacturers in the country.
Really?
And so they're taking part in the program. They're are for residential. They're supplying the solar panels. So we're really glad to have some local manufacturing and economic development and creating jobs here.
Now that kind of a program, this kind of crowdsourcing, is it only in Georgia because of that kind of progressive crowdsourcing and crowdfunding law that we have here? Or is it out anywhere in the country?
That's what started it. I'm a huge fan of crowdfunding, especially equity crowdfunding. I'm surprised you even are aware of that. But Georgia does have what we call an intrastate exemption that allows us to invest in it doesn't have to be solar. It could be anything at a crowdfunding base. And you actually can get a return on your investment rather than just donating and getting
a t-shirt. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I'm not clear on the, not at all clear, on the dynamic with the power company. They're embracing all this. They're not fighting this. They're not, don't feel like they're competing with this. Can you explain that? Why Georgia Power is helping?
Georgia Power and the PSC have worked together to bring on more renewable energy sources as part of the total energy generation mix in the state of Georgia. So that includes some wind power, solar power, biomass, hydro, things of that nature. It was started in earnest, it started in 2013, where the Public Service Commission required Georgia Power to bring on 525 megawatts of new solar capacity onto the electric grid. And
but put that into some context. Is 528, is that like a lot? Is that like, oh, let's throw them a bone here?
It's double what we had in the first place. Let's put it that way. It is literally throwing a bone. Just to help put it in context, the amount of solar power that's actually in the ground and operational right now still amounts to less than 2% of the overall energy portfolio mix in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So we still have a long way to go.
But Georgia Power is incented for some reason just to, because they're playing nice and they're being part of the community, or...
The biggest thing for Georgia Power and the other utilities is they're willing to diversify their energy mix. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to do so.
Okay.
Only if it doesn't put upward pressure on the ratepayers. And so the cost of solar has come down over the years so far where they're now able to bring more solar into the generation mix without raising rates on ratepayers. So in the latest integrated resource plan in 2016, it was just approved by the Public Service Commission, an approval to bring on another 1.6 gigawatts of solar into the generation mix by the year 2019. So that's a doubling and tripling of the capacity that we had in place ahead of time.
And solar, it seems to me, at some point, it's going to become like your phone's computing power, right? Like it's going to be so inexpensive that everyone's going to have it.
I think so. Yeah, the trajectory of the technology and the cost savings. I think yes, you're going to start seeing a more ubiquitous solar everywhere, especially as battery technology comes along.
Right, because that's improving pretty rapidly as well.
Well, we used to say battery technology, just wait a couple of years, it'll be here. When it does, it'll be a game changer. But I just got back from Las Vegas, where we had our Solar Power International Convention. It's the largest solar convention of its kind in the United States. And I'm here to say battery technology is already here. And it is going to be a game changer, because solar, by its very nature, the sun comes up, it goes down. It's an intermittent type of energy production. But what the battery allows us to do is store that excess energy during the day when you're at work and the kids are at school. And then when everybody gets home and starts flipping things on, you can use that energy that's been stored up with the batteries. That makes solar a 24-hour type of energy, and it really will be a game changer moving forward.
Now, how important is it to have somebody like in the, at least in this kind of ecosystem, like an Elon Musk who's doing the solar city and has, you know, Tesla with electric cars and things like that, that is kind of doing stuff in a public manner?
It's huge. He's one of my heroes. You know, all the things that you dream about doing, this guy is actually doing it and sending rockets into space, you know, as a side. Solar is just one part of, I think, a transformation that's happening across many different sectors. You're seeing electric vehicles coming. I think almost every car manufacturer now has an electric vehicle as part of their line. So those are becoming more ubiquitous. And between the battery technology, the electric vehicles, renewable energy, and smart grid technology, it gives us the tools we need to make a transformation from kind of the old fossil fuel central plant-based system into a more decentralized system where we're using clean renewable electricity, not just as we consume energy at our homes, but also as we in our transportation as well.
The commercial real estate folks are starting to really pay attention to this too, because was it earlier this week or late mm-hmm. last week where we had the folks in from the Bank of America Plaza, and they had the LEED certified stuff, and they're focused on renewable energy, and the folks right from the standpoint of designing everything, they designed it, I think, to capture solar and capture rainwater and all this stuff.
That's right. And a lot of companies have made commitments to go 100% carbon free by 2050. Uh-huh. In Georgia, you're seeing REI and IKEA and a few others are putting up solar panels on the top of those big stores. And they're offsetting tremendous amounts of electricity that way.
Now, do you think it's going to be, what is that, like 30 years until it becomes ubiquitous? I think it's going to be much sooner than that.
I think it'll be sooner. The costs continue to come down. It continues to be more affordable. I think the biggest thing now is that since we are at what we call grid parity, that means that the cost to generate a kilowatt hour of electricity from solar is about the same as it is from traditional fossil fuels, coal, and natural gas. So what that does is give consumers a choice. You can either stick with your traditional utility company, which is comprised of about 75% fossil fuels, and we know what burning of fossil fuels can do to our environment, or now you have a legitimate choice of generating your own electricity on your own property. It's clean and renewable, and it's cheaper than what you can get from the utility company. That's what's going to change. And then together with the battery technology, it's just going to accelerate things even more.
Now, where is the United States compared to other countries in this area?
We're catching up.
Who are the leaders?
Germany is by far and away the leader. And we've got much better sun here in the United States than Germany does. But this is something that they started many years ago. And they really are the driver of bringing the technology to where the efficiency is to where it makes sense. And the costs have come down enough to where you're starting to see mass production of solar across every part of the world.
You got to explain that much better, sun. Is it getting through the clouds better? Or?
No, they're just higher up.
We're closer.
They have a higher longitude, I guess, than we are. Does that make sense? We have a better solarity index. So the way we talk about it in the solar world is, if you take weather into consideration, nighttime into consideration, and all the factors that could affect how much sun you get, in Germany, they average around 3.5 hours of sun is how they calculate how much energy will be produced. Here in the United States, it ranges anywhere from 6 hours to 3.5. Three and a half being all the way up in your upper latitudes, I should say. Yeah.
So like in the South, we have a good amount.
Yeah, in the South, we average about 4.75 hours to 5 hours. South Georgia actually has more sun than North Georgia does.
It's the new cotton, right? It's the new peanuts.
In fact, a lot of the utility scale solar that's going on is in South Georgia. A lot of those farmers are taking underutilized land and they're leasing it to developers. And developers are going in and building large-scale solar farms and selling the electricity to the utility company over 20, 25, 30-year period of time.
So that's happening right now?
Absolutely. It's happening very quickly.
So now, if somebody wants to go to this event, is it still time to get in, or is it?
Yes, it's still open. You can find out more about the event if you want to go to georgiasolar.org. So that's GASOLAR. .org and go to the events page and click on the 8th annual Georgia Solar Summit. And there you can see the lineup, who all is going to be there. And there's a place to register right there.
And then that website, you can go there. And then that's probably kind of a good clearinghouse of solar information for Georgia.
Yes. So Georgia Solar Energy Association is a consumer advocacy and education 501c3. So It's a nonprofit organization where we try to do everything we can to educate the public, bring in stakeholders. We have over 300 members, a very diverse group of folks all around the state, and we also promote best practices. So, for example, we work together with the city of Atlanta in promulgating a new streamlined permitting process for solar, particularly for rooftop solar. So we adopted some. I know this is real exciting when we start talking about permitting, but we adopted a model permitting process. Atlanta adopted that for the most part. They tweaked it a little bit, but we want to serve that as a model for other jurisdictions around the state.
And if somebody wanted to learn more about solar crowdsource, and if they have a community that they're interested in kind of testing this? Or
sure. That's at solarcrowdsource.com, and I would encourage you to check out the Solarize Decatur DeKalb campaign, and that's at solarizedecatur-decalb.com, and that'll give you a really good idea of what that program is about, and give you an idea more about what
Solarize. Because your business, you're looking for other communities to take a shot at this.
Yes,
right?
We've done Athens, and right now we're doing Decatur, so those are our first two, and we're looking to do many more in 2017, 18, and 19. That 30% tax credit I was talking about earlier is good through 2020. So that's kind of our runway.
TikTok, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, very exciting stuff. Keep up the good work. And thanks so much for coming by and visiting with us, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this afternoon, Don Moreland, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.